Beloved, aren't you glad you're saved? A living, vital Savior whom we are going to see one day. And we're going to be with him for all eternity. What a thought. Thank you for the lesson. We continue our study from 2 Peter chapter 1. Partakers of the divine nature. Second Peter chapter 1. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great promises. And this is the part. This is our subject. That we might be partakers of the divine nature. Do you know I'm a partaker of the divine nature? The divine nature is in me. Well, that's enough to make me burst. How can I, little me, contain the divine nature? But that's what the book says. Partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In addition to this, giving all diligence. Now, your Bibles say, add. The better and correct translation is develop. It's not a question of adding. It's a question of developing. You know how a child develops in the womb? A child doesn't add a toe here and an ear there and a fingernail there and an ear over here. A child doesn't add when it develops. It develops all of these attitudes at one time. And now we listen and learn of the things that we are to develop. Develop in your faith virtue. What is faith? We have looked at that. Someone has said, fear is trusting in Satan. Faith is trusting in God. Fear says, God may fail me. Faith says, God never fails. Now, to that, and we all started that way. We started by faith and trusting in God. Now, the Lord says, develop that. And the next thing that you are to develop is virtue, stamina. Stand up for Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Remember those three boys? Pardon me, three young men. Nebuchadnezzar said, you are to bow down and worship my image, or I'll put you in a burning fiery furnace. You remember the answer of these young men? We will not bow down to your image, O king. Our God is able to save us. And if he wants to, he will. And if he doesn't want to, he will. But we will not bow down to your image. That's stamina. They wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they didn't burn. How about that? And when we stand up for Jesus, we'll come through. And now our subject for today, we are to develop knowledge. What is knowledge? You are to develop knowledge. What is knowledge? Now, if you look in the dictionary, you find all kinds of definitions of knowledge. But you know what knowledge is, very simply? Information. That's all knowledge is. Information. And you know the thing I like about the Bible, it gives you definitions and classifications. Would you like to know how to classify knowledge? Genesis chapter 3. Pardon me, chapter 2. How do we classify knowledge? Genesis chapter 2. And verse 9. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's how you classify knowledge. Knowledge is either good or it's evil. It's right or it's wrong. It's true or it's false. That's the classification of knowledge. First Timothy chapter 6. Knowledge is right or wrong, good or evil, true or false. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of knowledge. Your book says science. Oppositions of knowledge, falsely so called. False knowledge. And there's a lot of false knowledge going on. I remember when I was in school. You know what I was taught? Ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. What does that mean? Anybody? That's what they taught me. Ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. That's you mean you go home and tell your mother and father, ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny? Boy, that boy is learning something. I don't even know what he's talking about. No worries. Doesn't mean anything. Just high-sounding nonsense. That's all it is. They don't teach that anymore because they found out it's false. False knowledge. That's a piano. That's true. How do we know what is spiritually true? Daniel chapter 6. I'm sorry, Daniel chapter 20. How do you know what is spiritually correct? Daniel chapter 20. I'm getting old. So you stay young. Or you do like me. Daniel chapter 10. I believe I have it right this time. Verse 21. How do we know what is spiritually true? Verse 21 of Daniel chapter 10. I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. You want truth? It's here. This is truth. The word of God. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. What is truth? You know, Pilate asked the Lord that question. And he was so smart, he walked out before he got the answer. And may I suggest to you, especially you young people, please don't be smart. Please don't be smart. I think of a fellow in New York. Oh, he was real smart. We had a Bible reading, and he went to school and learned a few things. And I'm reading what the Lord Jesus Christ says. And he said, that's not correct reasoning. That's reasoning in a circle. The Lord Jesus Christ's words, and he tells me he's reasoning in a circle. Can you imagine that? And he got married. Happily, I didn't marry him. Marriage didn't last 1 year. He was so smart, he couldn't even stay married 1 year. I think of another smart one. And he contended with the Word of God. Real smart. He too got married. And now he refuses to work. And he is supported by his wife and his mother-in-law. Smart. I would like to see him. I want to tell him what the Bible says. You know what the Bible says? If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Fine. Don't work, go and die. That's scripture. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. What's truth? This. The Word is truth. You want spiritual truth? The Word is truth. How do you acquire knowledge? How do you acquire spiritual knowledge? Acts chapter 17. How do you acquire spiritual knowledge? Acts chapter 17. Verse 10. The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. You want knowledge? You got to search the scriptures. I remember my second day in medical school. There was a student there 3 years ahead of me. I knew him at college level. And I said to him, Soden, what's the key to learning medicine? What do you advise me to do? He said, Garns, dig. That's how you learn medicine. They search the scriptures. And that's how you learn the scriptures. You search the scriptures. Now, there are different ways of reading. Some skim. Some scan. But others probe. You want to know the Bible? You got to take time and sit and probe and study the scripture. That's how you learn it. That's how you learn truth. Don't study the Bible hit and miss. You get in trouble. Have you heard the story of the young fellow? He opened the Bible, close his eyes and put his finger down. That's my verse for today. Matthew 27:5. Please turn to it. That was his verse. Matthew 27:5. You have it? He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Oh, he says, oh, no, the Lord doesn't want me to hang myself. He closed the Bible, opened it and put his finger down. Came to John 13:27. Please turn to John 13:27. After the sup, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus said unto him, that thou doest, do it quickly. Go and hang yourself, do it quickly. We said, no, no, God couldn't mean that. He doesn't want me to kill myself. I'll try again. Close the book, open, put his finger down. This time he came to Luke 10:37. Luke 10:37. And he said, he that showed mercy on him, Jesus said, go and do likewise. And if you read hit and miss, you're going to miss more than you hit. The Bible is not to be read helter-skelter. And by the way, the Bible isn't to be read Evelyn Wood's speedy reading. You've heard of Evelyn Wood and speed reading? No, you don't speed read the Bible. And more recently, up to last week, I heard them advertising a method whereby you can read 20% faster. You don't need that. You can read the comics 20% faster, that's fine. But when it comes to the book, you don't need to read 20% faster. You need to read slowly. Waiting upon the Lord. Ezra chapter 7. The study of the Word of God. Ezra chapter 7. We've looked at this before. I was about to say I like this one. But there's so many that I like. I just like them all. Haven't you found that true? Everything's nice. Everything in the book. Ezra chapter 7. Verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe. Skilled. How do you become skilled in anything? He was a skilled scribe. How do you become skilled? You practice. A skilled baseball player. How did he become that way? Just went out there and played? No, he practiced. A skilled football player. How did he become skilled? He practiced. And if we are going to become skilled in the word of the Lord, we've got to practice the word of the Lord. We've all heard of the great pianist Ignaz Jan Paderewski. Anybody here recognize that name? Oh, he was a great pianist. I had the joy of hearing him play the piano. And he could play. You know what Paderewski said? If I don't practice one day, I can tell. If I don't practice 2 days, my wife can tell. If I don't practice 3 days, anybody can tell. Skill. Practice. Keeping at it. Reading the word regularly, skillfully. Verse 10. This Ezra set his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it and to teach. We won't turn to it, but in the book of Nehemiah, you find Ezra standing up there teaching. And how was he able to do it? By skillfully studying the word of the Lord. Keeping at it. At our previous address, across the street, there was a young girl. Every morning, winter, rain, sunshine, sleet, snow, a car came at 7 in the morning and drove her away. That young lady was the same age as my first granddaughter, and my granddaughter got to know her. Do you know where she was going at 7 o'clock every morning? To swimming practice. Regardless of the weather, every morning at 7, that car was there. Do you know who she turned out to be? In her group, she was the state champion in her division. Skilled every day. And if we're going to be skilled in the Word of God, we've got to be disciplined. We've got to approach the Word of God seriously. I have a little piece here I'd like to read for you. Martin Luther. You remember Martin Luther? The great Protestant believer who broke from the Church of Rome. This is what he said. He studied his Bible as he gathered apples. Now, you see, I don't know much about gathering apples. I'm a city boy. I was raised in that wicked city, New York City. Thank God he saved me. First, he shook the whole tree that the ripest apples might fall. Then he climbed the tree and shook each limb. And he shook, when he had shaken each limb, he shook each branch. After each branch, each twig. Then he looked under each leaf, searched the Bible as a whole. Search, search, search. That's how you learn the Bible. That's how you learn the truth. We've looked at Ezra. Oh, turn with me to the book of Job. Job chapter 23. Oh, this is the good part. Well, it's all good. Job chapter 23. You might wonder why it's taking me so long to find it. I haven't used this Bible in many years. And I just thought I would give it a chance. Or am I giving myself a chance? Job chapter 23. Verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Please note, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's how you learn the Bible. How do you feel about that? Job says, I'd rather read and study the Bible than to sit down and eat. You know who else was like that? Mr. Edison. Thomas Alden Edison. The great electric worker and inventor. He would be down there in that laboratory working. His wife would call, Tom, supper is ready. All right, I'll be there. 15 minutes, Tom hasn't come. An hour and Tom hasn't come. More absorbed in that laboratory work than in eating his food. How do you feel about it, brother? Sister, Which do you prefer to eat first? Which you long for more? The book or the food on the table? Years ago at a conference in New York, and I noticed this several times, the first session was from 9 to 12. And then about 12:15, a meal was served. And I noticed that there were certain believers, they always came just about 10 to 12 in time to eat food. They didn't want the spiritual food. No, they wanted the natural food. But Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And you know the word of God has taste and it has flavor. Did you know that? Psalm 19. The word of God has flavor. Tastes very good. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. That's the Bible. The Bible is perfect. There are no errors in the Bible. Converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord, again, the Bible is sure. Making wise is simple. You want to be smart? You want to be wise? You want to pass? You want to do well in school? Learn the book. One day I'll tell you about that. It's amazing what God will do for you in your schoolwork if you honor Him and His Word. In fact, I'll tell you one story. I probably have told it to you before. Young lady in New York entered the Harlem Hospital School of Nursing. And she came to my wife and me with tears in her eyes. Oh, they bother me. They tell me, you don't do this, you don't do that. You don't go here, you don't go there, you don't eat this, and you don't drink that. Oh, they're just after me. After me. We prayed with her and encouraged her. One time she came and said, they bother me so much, I think I'm going to resign from the school of nursing. I said, don't you do any such thing. God put you there. You just stay there. You serve Him, live for Him, and we'll keep praying. Graduation night came. Graduation was on a Friday night. Friday night at that assembly, we usually met as we do in this assembly on Wednesday nights. But I said to my wife, I'm sure the Lord will understand. What we have gone through with this young lady in her 3 years of study, encouraging, praying, beseeching the Lord. Graduation. What do you think happened? 14 prizes were given out and she won 13. Oh, you say that was in the olden days. No, no, she's in California. She's alive. She's right here today. No olden days. You honor God, He will honor you. Honor the book. Let's continue reading. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey. There's a flavor to the word of God. Do you enjoy it? Psalm 104. The word of God has a flavor. And if you, as a child of God, don't enjoy the flavor, you're sick. Let's see a doctor. See Dr. Jesus. He'll take care of you. Psalm 104, did I say? Verse 34. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. The word of God has a flavor. And if when you read it, you don't get something to cheer you and make you feel good, something's wrong. I remember, I was about 9 or 10 years old. And my father used to have a Bible reading for about 5 or 6 men every Wednesday night. And I would listen to them. And I said, that's funny. Oh, that's precious. Thank the Lord. Oh, the Lord is good. This is a delightful word. I said, they sound as if they're eating ice cream. And I liked ice cream. And still like it. Enjoying the word. It tasted good. Do you know what happened? One day I got down on my knees and said, Lord, please help me to see what they see. Let it taste good to me. You know it tastes good? He answered that prayer. The word of God has a flavor. Look up all the scriptures. I have several here. Whom turns them? Look up all the scriptures that tell of the flavor of the word of God. Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. Verse 9. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. It was in my mouth sweet as honey. Oh, yes. But as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. What does that mean? It's sweet to the believer. I had a relative, a nephew. New York City. He was born in the same house that my wife and I owned. His parents were believers in an assembly just like this. He grew up in the Sunday school. He came to the gospel meeting. He was at the morning service on Sunday. He was at the Sunday school. Did well in school. Joined the police force and became a lieutenant. And that's quite an attainment in New York City. Police lieutenant. Died suddenly. And when I spoke to his father, I said, was he saved? The father said, no. That's bitter. That's bitter. He's going to a lost eternity. Weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. That's bitter. And when we consider our loved ones that have not taken the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, what their end is going to be, this same word that's sweet to our taste becomes bitter. Let's pray for our unsaved relatives that they will bow, that they will turn to the Lord. Final thought. We have a perfect book. Perfect text. Did you know we have a perfect teacher? Did you know that? John, well, let's see. John chapter 14. Our teacher. You send your child to school, you give him a book. Or you teach the child at home, you have books. Who is our teacher? You know, I've had some wonderful teachers.
some great teachers, but I've had some very inferior teachers.
I think of Dr. Bailey, PhD in physiology. And Dr. Bailey would come to class and read from the textbook that we were reading from.
Oh, my.
How dull. But I think of Dr. Chiquelis in physiology. He didn't worry with the book. He went to that blackboard, and when he finished, we felt good. I think of another good teacher, Dr. Begg, Latin 3. What a teacher he was. Every time you came to class, he reviewed yesterday's lesson, completed today's lesson, and got you started on tomorrow's lesson. That was a teacher. Who was our teacher? John, chapter 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, nor knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Verse 26. When the Comforter, the Helper, is come, who is the Holy Ghost, he will teach you all things. You want a better teacher? The Holy Ghost is God. Check it out in Acts chapter 5. A perfect textbook and the best teacher in the world. And I know so little. Whose fault is it? Not the book. Not the teacher. And you know that there's one thing about the Bible that is not true of any other book, the age of the Bible. College of the City of New York, in New York City, at the Great Hall, which seated about 1,000 people. Professor Mott, chief of the Department of English, world authority on Shakespeare. Incidentally, I often wonder, what's the point of being a world authority on Shakespeare? What's that going to do for you? However, he was a world authority on Shakespeare. And in the Great Hall that seated 1,000, there was a symposium. Professor Mott and another professor from Columbia University, and they met. And they began to talk about Shakespeare very cordially and very politely, not like these present-day politicians. It was mutual respect. And they talked and they talked. Oh, it was nice to hear them. About an hour later, they came to a point where the two authorities did not agree.
Oh, my.
But they were courteous. And I said to myself, the only way to know the answer to this question is for Shakespeare to come out of his grave, come up to the Great Hall, and tell us what he meant by what he said. That's the only way. That's true of this book. The one who wrote the book is present, alive, and in the believer to tell you what he means by the book. How do you feel about that? Then why do I know so little? It's not the book's fault. It's not the teacher's fault. It's my fault. And if we would increase in knowledge, the Lord wants us to increase in knowledge. You read in 2 Peter chapter 3, the last verse, grow in grace and in knowledge. The Lord wants us to know this book. And if we're going to know this book, we've got to apply ourselves. I think I'll stop. On Wednesday night in the will of the Lord, we'll continue. Our subject will be temperance, self-control. Do you know that a man in bad temper can behave worse than a man under the influence of alcohol?
Wednesday night.
Hymn number 428.